Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Meredith.
How is everyone this evening?
Awake and ready.
Good. Well, let us all close our eyes and fix our full attention at the point between the eyebrows. Let us feel the presence of the indwelling Christ, His peace, His beauty, His illumination. Let us feel our oneness with Him, and let us pray to Him. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed Master,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles,
free my life from all obstacles,
and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Go deeply into meditation with our full consciousness on the Lord, giving ourselves to Him in full surrender. I want to read you just one verse from Psalm 127 tonight. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And I want to read you from a very wonderful book, which is entitled Man Was Not Born to Cry. Illumination dissolves all material ties and binds men together with the golden chains of spiritual understanding. It acknowledges only the leadership of the Christ. It has no ritual but the divine, impersonal, universal love. No other worship than the inner flame that is ever lit at the shrine of spirit. This union is the free state of spiritual brotherhood. The only restraint is the discipline of soul. Therefore, we know liberty without license. We are a united universe without physical limits, a divine service to God without ceremony or creed. The illumined walk without fear by grace. Now, inasmuch as my subject tonight is about Jesus the carpenter, I would like to read this to you. It is about the Christ within. I am the everlasting self, perfect and incorruptible, cast in the image of the one who made me his beloved son. Even before time was, I am, an ageless and eternal light. When suns have died and worlds have passed, still I shall be a changeless soul, perfect and incorruptible. Into this house of flesh I come, that I may learn to know myself, and thus the one whose child I am. I kiss to life the consciousness, and seek to mold the growth. At times I whisper in the silent halls of inner peace. At other times I rise, a superhuman power, transcendent in the hour of need. Through the subconscious mind, my reigning force is relayed to my kingdom of the flesh, pour through the channel of the mouth of God, that gateway at the threshold of the brain. My tide of power surges down the spine and vibrates through the nerves to every cell, My love contracts the heart, and in the blood pulsates its stream of life to every part, bearing my currents of sustaining care. I draw the breath that purifies the blood, appropriating cosmic energy, which dashes ever on the puny shores of finitude, out of that boundless sea, the surging ocean of eternity. Within my laboratory walls, I choose those elements from nature's proffered store, whose chemistry is needed in the realm to build a stately temple for my home. I sing and vibrate in each molecule, and purge the lower minds that dwell therein. With purifying fire from on high, only the misconception of my power, held in the darkness of untutored mind, can interrupt my rule by cutting off my subjects from their king, and bring disease by leaving them ungoverned, each to strive for self alone, unmindful of the whole. I bring the senses power to feed the mind, with knowledge of the outer world and all its form and color, light, smell, taste, and sound, that, dealing with its problems and ordeals, the consciousness may come to know my power, and rise a king identified with me, to master matter and at last be free. I am the Christ within, the perfect love, the source of life, the living word of God. I am the way on which all forms of life must journey to the house of God. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Yet every instant of eternity, I stand here at the threshold of your heart and knock to let you know how long I wait and dearly yearn to come and sup with you. Arise, O man, and open wide the door, that Christ your King may reign forevermore. And that was written by Lawrence S. Epsley many, many years ago. Every now and then I find little gems that I like to share with you. And this is another. Alas, that man has lost a leg. Yet with a radiant face, he walks complacent on his peg with compensating grace. But there goes one across the way who needs compassion much. He lost his faith in life one day. For him, there is no crutch. Isn't that wonderful? No, we've been building a fence at our house. If anybody doubts it, let those who have been building it tell them about it. It's been a very interesting fence. It's been put up and taken down many times. But don't forget that it's more than just building a fence. It has had many, many purposes. And I recall to mind Jesus' statement, which says, "Be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And so in building this fence, we are striving for perfection. And in order to strive for that perfection, we have to learn patience and understanding. Patience personified and understanding. But in the meantime, everybody's been getting very well acquainted with everybody else who's been building the fence. Many changes have been made in the personalities, in the minds, in the emotions, and in the souls of those who have worked. It's a tremendous fence. It's really beautiful. It's going to be exquisite by the time we tear it down a few more times and build it up again. But first there's a bulge down below, you see. Then the boards are too far apart. Besides, they shrink in the meantime because of the weather. So then we have to bring them a little bit closer. Then we had them going up this way and down this way, and we decided it would be better along the ground because everything has to be perfect and beautiful for God. So it's been a tremendous experience. But you know, if we are to pattern our lives after the Christ, then we must all be good carpenters because Christ was a carpenter. And one of the workers said to me the other day, "Yes, but Christ only followed the line of carpentry for a few years, then he went on." This, in fact, is not so. I doubt very much if Christ ever took a hammer in his hand and pounded a nail in a board. Perhaps he did. because he was human as well as divine. And as we in this group all know by now, it is the humanness in the Savior who came to show us the way, which has been left out of our Bible, and therefore we have been deprived of a great deal. But Christ was the greatest carpenter who ever lived, because he is the one who dwells in each man and who builds the temple of the living God. He builds it in every little tiny bit. He is the flesh, the bones, the sinew, all of the things that houses his Holy Spirit. We all say in the Christian world that we want to pick up our cross and follow the Christ in order that we may be his disciples. This, in most cases, is just lip service, because, as we pointed out before, it wasn't a wooden cross that Christ carried, but this was his cross upon which must be crucified his human ego. We have heard much in St. John of the seven churches, of the candlesticks, of the stars, of many, many things which in the beginning don't make sense to us, of the woolly hair in Revelations. But these all have a deeper mystical meaning. Our mysticism is the imminent effort, shall we say, of recognizing the temporal in the eternal, and the eternal in the temporal. God in the soul, and God in nature. In order to have universal consciousness, the universal consciousness which was in the Christ, it is necessary that we build our foundations strong and sure. We cannot possibly hope to reach the goal which he has set out for us and which we say we want if we do not pattern our lives after him. This temple must be built according to his plan, and it takes a great deal of effort, of care to do this. We cannot teach the truth until we have followed his path and wielded his hammer and driven the nails in every single detail. We must know supreme love. We must know supreme suffering. We must know supreme joy, supreme happiness, supreme peace. But these are things to be worked for. You cannot possibly absorb them intellectually. You cannot just make a wish. You cannot just determine that you're going to do something and then expect it to happen without all of the other effort that must be put into it, because the way is steep and it is hard. But the results, the glory that was the cross, will be the glory of each of us if we can become carpenters like Christ in the building of our lives. In every single way we must do this, in thought, in word, and in action. And when I speak of the Christ, I speak not only of Jesus the Christ, but of Krishna the Christ, of Buddha the Christ, of Zoroaster, of Mohammed, of all of the great ones who have attained their complete illumination in God, because they too picked up their crosses, which were their bodies, followed the way, went within that inner secret chamber, and meditated long upon him until they knew of their oneness with the Father, even as Jesus the Christ. For the Western world, his life was the graphic one, the dramatic one. But for the East, it is the Buddha, it is Confucius, it is Krishna, it is whichever one God has placed in that particular place, because the consciousness of the Christ is vast. It is in every atom of space, every place in this universe. How can anyone doubt the existence of God? When he advertises himself through the sun, the moon, the stars, and all growing things, and the forms in which he himself dwells. How can we doubt this? This was all he. It is this manifestation of himself, this world, and we who live in it, who are in truth God himself in living form. But we have not realized this, and constantly we are burdened down with the idea of the sin and the sin of separation. And yet always and eternally we have been one with our Father. We are one with him, and we will always be one with him. Because where is he not? He is everywhere, equally present. It is such a tremendous experience to finally go within yourself and to realize through your own illumination the tremendous universality of the Christ and what went into the building of this temple. Remember that he said to John, "Suffer it to be now." Then he went into the wilderness for 40 days, and he fasted. But there are many ways of fasting. It is just not a fasting from food, I can assure you. It is fasting from your desire for worldly things. And this is quite a challenge to us in the world today, because we are so surrounded with the vibrations of worldly things. There is so much violence, so much discord, so much strife, so much combat, so much challenge in every field of our life that our full attention is out here. And we feel helpless in our desire to and our need to do something about it. And we never can. We can only do something about ourselves. We can only go within our secret closet, as he enjoined us to do, and meditate on him. Feel his wondrous presence. Listen to the higher voice through which he speaks to us. And have the experience of having his light fill our beings completely. It is only when we do that, that we have the peace which passeth all understanding. We have to work for what we want. It isn't just a gift. His grace is always descending upon us. But we have to open ourselves and prepare ourselves to receive it. And this, most of us are not willing to do. We are not willing to make the effort. We're willing in many cases to do all of the outer things, but not the meditation, the prayer, the fasting, not only from food, but from the things of the flesh, the things of the world, that are necessary in order to attain this state. But if we could only realize that if we would do these things, that we are building a temple not made by hands, that the structure is going into place, brick by brick and stone by stone, that which is old and dilapidated and of no longer any use is being torn down, and there are new boards, new visions, new everything, until this whole being is changed. It is a state which is described in the Bible as the transfiguration, when man has so greatly conquered his lower nature that his whole being is surrendered and dedicated to God. His love for God is so great that he would lay down his life for him. And in fact, he must do that. Because don't forget that when Jesus started his ministry, this was just the end of his preparation and the beginning of something new. During the 18 years which are missing out of his life, there can be no doubt, because of the wisdom that is given in the Bible, the sayings of the sages of the East for centuries are given there, that he had been with them, that he had studied with the masters, he had prepared himself for this ministry. His hour was coming, because when you once put your feet on the path, having attained universal knowledge of your oneness with him. You are indeed on the cross. Each step of the way is a challenge, because every single bit that you accomplish for yourself or for anyone in the spiritual sense must be paid for physically, mentally, emotionally. The old structure must be torn down and the new one built. And when it is built, it must be purified until it is all shining and clean and wonderful. So this fasting must be there, but it must be from the things of the flesh principally. It is good to fast, but we must always drink plenty of water. But it is not good to fast too much unless you have specific direction from God within you to do so. That direction must come. You must have the strength to carry on in this world. And your fasting can come in many ways without having a complete fast. You can live on fruit and vegetables, for instance, but for not too long a time, because this is the temple of the living God, and it must be preserved. It must be kept in good health in order that you may attain this final illumination. Jesus brought new commandments, and the greatest of these was that we should love one another as he has loved us. And his love was so great that he gave of himself everything he had and suffered himself, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Son of Man, to be crucified on his cross in order that all might be saved. But it is speaking individually of the kingdom within. Only the tremendously God realized can take on a portion of the karma for others. But the eternal Christ consciousness, that first begotten Son of God, is that which is eminent in every atom of space. And it is that which, when man tunes himself into, lifts him up. And I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto myself. So it is the consciousness within us, the Christ consciousness, which must be lifted up. And then we will draw all men unto ourselves. But Jesus, one man, the Son of God, obviously, it wasn't meant that this one was to lift all men up in consciousness, to inspire them, yes. But why are they not lifted up? Did he not make the final grade, shall we say? Why are all men still in this state the world over? It is something which happens to each individual man, even as it happened to Jesus the Christ. When he tunes in with that which is the highest there is in God, that which was the first projection from God himself, his firstborn son, that Christ consciousness. And every man has the power to lift himself into that consciousness after he has gone through the crucifixion, if he has the spirit, the tenacity of purpose, to endure until the end, to resist temptation, to do the things that are set before him. He should go into his secret closet, because Christ forever knocks at the door, saying, "Here am I. Open the door and let me in." And what do? We keep him out, because we're so busy thinking of all of the things of our desired nature. Never of the things, the meat, as he said, that ye know not of. He was constantly conscious of the higher realms of spirit. It is a tremendous thing, believe me, to be constantly in tune with God. So that no matter what you're doing on this earth, if you're washing dishes, scrubbing a floor, digging a ditch, or pounding a nail with a hammer, that you are upstairs with him in the mountain of your own being, and you are listening to his gentle voice within you, and you feel the bliss and the power and the peace of his presence. Jesus did not get the power to heal intellectually. He had to earn that part. It isn't a thing that you can go out and take a course in from any teacher. It is a thing which is attained through your oneness with God. And when you have that, you don't do it, but you open your arms to whoever is ill. And God does it through you because He has become your very self and you are one with Him. It is He who is the healer. Nothing is gained just through the mind. You have to forget this outer world and go deep into the silence of your own soul, into the spirit. And there you will find more beauty, more wonder, more joy, more to envision than you ever dreamed of, more to entrance you than all the things of the senses. Take my word for it. It is tremendous. And even after you have attained the knowledge of your oneness with God, this continues to grow and to grow and to grow, because your Father's house has many mansions. And He continues to take you to each new experience. And He makes you live all of it. The joys, the suffering, the overcoming, and finally the purification, in order to prepare you for the next job which He has for you. This is true. Each thing that comes into your life is a step in the direction of the next task which He has assigned for you. Christ dwells within each and every one of us. Lo, I am with you always. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Word is the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And that Word was so strong that it made the flesh in which it dwells. And that indwelling Spirit is that of the Christ in every man. We must not look for it outside of ourselves. We must go within to find Him. And He will appear to us in all of His radiance, in the form in which we envision Him. Because every artist who has ever drawn the face of Christ has drawn a picture which is different from that of every other. There is no picture of Jesus the Christ any place except that which man, in the artistry of his soul, in the worship of God, has drawn from his own consciousness. And the reason for that is that He is you and me and everyone. It is a tremendous thing when you think that every name is the name of God. Every single name is the name of God. That every leaf that falls happens as a miracle of His will. Can we do this? By the knowledge that we gain in the worldly sense? Can we grow a tree? Can we make a leaf? Can we build a beautiful flower? We plant a seed, and from that comes the image of that which it contains, and the likeness, which is the spirit within it that makes it grow. And yet we think we are great. Only God is great. We are but His children and His servants. And He who would be greatest among you, let that one be the servant of all. And this is the tremendous thing we have been learning all this summer, that no task is too great, and no task is too small. No task is too clean, nor too dirty, nor too anything. If we do it with the consciousness that we are serving the indwelling Christ. You cannot serve God in the greater sense, in the universal sense, until first you have served Him well within yourself, until you have built the temple in all of its beauty and wonder and purity, until you have prepared yourself in every single field of your existence to receive Him. And then, when you find Him within, when you become one with that great blaze, your soul, God within you, then and then alone are you privileged and experienced to teach the truth to all men. It is quite a task, the building of this temple. Many bricks have to be torn down. Many things have to be replaced. Many ideas which we have hung on to since childhood have to be kicked in the teeth and thrown out, and new ideas take their place. But this is a changing world. It is a tremendous challenge today to live, to exist, to work, to dream, to play, and to be one with God in this world. But the one who becomes master of himself, becomes master of everything he surveys, I don't care what it is. Nobody can be your master except God if you do not permit him to be so. Not anyone in this world. And no matter what the challenge, no matter what the task set before you, no matter what the disappointment, the seeming failure, this is your test, and you must reach out and overcome that test and take that which is your own. And if you will go with God, if you will listen to his inner direction, if you will take out all of the negation in your mind and build the perfect vision, the perfect picture of that which you want to see manifested in your life, it will come to pass just as surely as the sun and the moon sets in the heaven. As certain as the dawn of each new day comes, and then that even at even time the night falls. Just as sure, because this is the law. What you put into life, you get out of it. We want to build a United States of the world, a brotherhood of all men everywhere, of being able to go to a different church every Sunday, of seeing God there. But we also want to remember that this is the true church, this temple of the living God, and that he is not to be found outside, although he is everywhere equally present. But each man must find his indwelling oneness with God through going inside of this temple, as Christ taught us, and communing with him, him alone. And when you come to the point where you come out of this blazing light and you look around you, you cannot see any difference anywhere. Everything is filled with the light of God. All men are your brothers. There is nothing, no one, that does not have God within him, nor is not a part of God. There is no consciousness of the difference in race, color, creed, nationality. It makes no difference what. This is he, it is he, it is he everywhere. What a tremendous vision this is to attain. And this is what we work for in every moment of our life, in every detail of the path which we are following. The universality and the greatness of the Christ. It is truly a Catholic order, universal in every single detail. It is everywhere equally present, nothing but God. There was once a very great Lord, and many people traveled to his door to gain of his wisdom. Many times he journeyed far o'er the sea, and yet he was always present when someone came to see him. And he was noted for the lavish gifts that he gave everyone who came. But no one came empty-handed. Everyone brought something when they came to see him. So finally, one day, the gates were about to be closed, and a woman slipped in from the garden, and even though the master had finished his audience with the people for the day, she was admitted into his presence and very graciously welcomed. And he said, did you have to come very far? Oh, no, not very far, she said. And I got a ride from somebody who was coming this way. Why are you so late then? Well, she said, I just sat in the garden and I didn't know whether I should come in or not. But then I saw a man coming out and he had a very beautiful gift. And I had heard that everyone who came here got a gift, so I thought I would go in and get a gift too. And he said, what did you bring? Bring, she said. Why, I brought nothing. He said, oh, but he said, everyone who comes and receives a gift must first bring a gift. And she said, is it then merely an exchange? Oh, he said, do not call it so. He said, it is the law that if you want something, a gift from God, that then you must give something in return. And so she sat in contemplation for a moment, and she said, if I bring a measure and a gift the next time I come, then will you give me a gift? And he said, such a decision cannot go without being rewarded. And so he picked up an exquisite little casket from the table, and in it was one beautiful, shining little seed. He said, I shall give you this. I want you to plant it, water it, nurture it well, and let it grow and grow and grow. And it will bring a great change into your life. And so she agreed to do this. And he terminated the audience with her. And so it is with those who come to the Master seeking the gift of God. They also must bring a gift, and that gift must be that of their ego, of their determination to find Him, of their complete love and faith and loyalty to Him alone. These are the gifts that you must bring to the Master if you would get the gift of God's eternal presence. Your mind must be as vast as the sky. Your heart as deep as the ocean. And your love all enduring in Him. If you will come with these gifts and lay them at the feet of the Master, you shall surely get your gift, the flower of your own God realization. The beauty of it, when it unfolds, is beyond the power of human description. You can only feel it, experience it, live it, and become that which is He. Now let us all close our eyes and pray to Him. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence.
Of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting for my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
May Thy love shine forever.
May Thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to Thee.
And bring them to Thee.
Peace.
Peace.
Bless.
Amen.
Amen. like to make an announcement. We are having a picnic on Sunday over at Gordon's. It's going to start at 1 o'clock. We're going to have a barbecue picnic about 4 in the afternoon. And if you will get in touch with Barbara here, she will tell you what to bring. We hope that all of you will come.